Lord. Praise God. Well, I was going to share one sermon with you. I'm going to change. You know, I feel like there's been a lot of things said here this morning, and I feel like we need to go in a little different direction than what I was going to go in. And let me find what I'm looking for here. And we'll pause for a word of prayer as we bless the offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to bless this offering. I ask you to just bless your people, Father. And I thank you that you are a source of supply. And I ask you to just bless this offering and bless each one that's given and those that have not to give. Because I think as they learn to give, you will increase them. And I just thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord.
All right.
Praise God. Let me put this microphone on, and we'll go from there. You know, a lot of times... It's really neat to hear the testimonies of people. I love it when you all do that because, you know, you can't have a testimony unless you've had a test. And your testimony means that you pretty much passed the test. Or at least we're going to proclaim that you passed the test. Because I tell you what, I used to love Mark. Mark used to have a teacher when he was in school, and that teacher, I think, helped him more in school than any other teacher he ever had. And the reason I say that is because he had pretests, and he would test them early in the week, not to find out what they knew, but to find out what they didn't know. Because what you know, you already know it. And you don't need to study what you know. You need to study what you don't know. And he started just doing really, really good in school after he had that teacher. And I thought it was just tremendous, you know. And, you know, I really appreciated that teacher that he had. And I don't remember what his name was, or him or her name was, but do you know who was it, Mark? Mr. Harp, yeah. Okay. And I just felt like that helped him so much because he just really started flourishing in school. And a lot of times, if we'll just remember that when we go through a test, God's not testing you to see what you know. He's testing you to see what you don't know. And usually what you don't know is that he's that friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's right there in the middle of the thing. You're more than a conqueror. You've overcome it. Through the blood of the Lamb and through the word of your testimony, you can overcome anything that comes your way. There's nothing can hold you down except you. And I just want you to know that so many times as we go along in the Lord, we have a tendency that we have a test and we think, oh God, why am I being tested? You're not being tested because he doesn't know what you'll do. He knows what you'll do. You're being tested so that you'll know what you'll do. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into the word here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just give you all praise. I give you all glory. I give you all honor for everything that you're going to do here today. I thank you for even the songs because, Father, it sent me in a little bit of different direction here. And we're going to go in this direction because I feel like you want me to go there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the name of my sermon will be now be, I'll change the name, Margaret, Trees of God. Okay. Now, a lot of times when we sing some of these songs, if you're not real familiar with the scriptures, you can be sitting there saying, well, bless God, I ain't no tree. I'm a person. But I want you to know you are a tree of the Lord. And God uses things that we can understand. He uses things that, you know, he used a lot of farmer things that farmers did. And the reason that he did that was because most of the people in the Old Testament were farmers. And a whole bunch of the people in the New Testament were farmers. You know. So we're going to start off and we're going to read Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And you notice he said, the way of the ungodly shall perish. And I believe God's going to start bringing the way of the ungodly down. And he's going to do that through a revelation of himself. And, you know, I was just thinking as we were singing that song, thank God I'm a tree planted by living waters. My leaves shall not wither, my roots go down deep. And all that I do, God said I would prosper. We're trees of the Lord and we're planted by him. And I just want you to know you were planted by him. You didn't plant yourself. You can't make yourself a tree of God. Only he can make you a tree of God. You know, in the natural out there, you can't make a tree. You can plant a seed, but God has to be the one that causes that seed to grow. He causes it. You know, Brother Eddie told a story one time years ago about them, I believe, about them going into one of the tombs of the pharaohs, I believe it was. And they took a grain of a seed that was in there and took it out of there. And it had been in there for thousands of years. And they took it out of there and they planted it to see what would happen. And guess what? It grew. And even though it looked like it was dead, even though it looked like it was dormant, even though you would have thought, well, after all that time, could that thing possibly grow? It grew. And I want you to know that in everyone's life, no matter where they're at or what they seem like they are, they might seem dead as a doornail to the spiritual things of God. But I want you to know, if he pours a little water on them, pours a little sunshine on them, sticks them down in the good brown earth, all of a sudden they can become a tree of God and a flourishing tree of God. And a lot of times, to be honest with you, he takes the ugliest looking seed you ever seen, and that's the one that he makes be the most beautiful tree. I was thinking about Miles. He used to talk about the oak tree being in the acorn or whatever it was, you know. And I think Jim asked him one time about, because he'd say there was a song to that, and Jim asked him, well, won't you sing that song, Miles? And he didn't sing it. But he did bring the words back later on one time, and he stood up and sang that song. And I still remember that like it was yesterday. He sang the song about the acorn, the oak tree being in the acorn. And you know, in the natural, you look at that little acorn and you think, man, that thing can never be nothing. It's just nothing but a little acorn, you know. But it can grow into one of the mightiest trees. And it can grow into a tree that's really hard and really resistant to bugs and everything else, because it's hard wood, you know. But anyway, you know, when I was thinking about this here and thinking about this particular psalm here, I began to think about, too, you know, that in the book of Zechariah, there was a time in the book of Zechariah when years ago, one time, I'll be honest with you, one time years ago, I was woken up in the middle of the night, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to get down in my office in the basement and read the Word. And I don't always get woken up that much in the middle of the night and feel like I'm supposed to do that, but boy, I really felt like I was supposed to do that. And I went down, and I turned into the book of Zechariah, and it was like the Lord just began to just pour this stuff through me. And in Zechariah chapter 3, And I'm going to read through this to you. He says, "And then the guiding angel showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at Joshua's right hand to be his adversary, to accuse him." You ever feel like sometimes you almost got Satan standing at your right hand trying to accuse you? Did you do something yesterday that's where maybe you think, man, I can't go to church tomorrow? Not after I did that. Not after I said that. Well, I want you to know the accuser of the brethren is always there standing on your shoulder trying to tell you. I used to laugh at them little cartoons where they'd show the devil and the angel, you know, on the cartoon, and the devil would be on one side and the angel would be on the other side. And they'd always act like the devil was kind of beating up on the angel, but I got news for you, it ain't like that. The devil was a defeated foe. He's the accuser of the brethren. And most of the devil tends to be right up here, your carnal mind, trying to tell you that you can't do the things God says you can do. You know, I love the song we sang here today, "I am what God says I am." And a lot of times, God shows me pictures a lot of times in things. And when I hear that song, "I am what God says I am," I remember being a little kid watching Popeye and Brutus all the time. And Brutus was way bigger than Popeye and big and muscular and all this. And Popeye was kind of skinny and had a little scrawny, big forearms, but had little scrawny arms and everything. And Brutus would just beat the snot out of Popeye until Popeye ate some spinach. And boy, when he ate some spinach, all of a sudden he got fortified and the muscles popped up. And man, he whooped Brutus into a pal after that. And I got news for you, folks. Popeye's statement was always, "I am that I am." You know, and he'd always say that. And you know what? You are what God says you are. He's that spiritual spinach in your life. There is nothing that can defeat you. There's nothing that can beat you down. I don't care how big the problem is. I don't care what it is. You can overcome it through what Jesus did on Calvary. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And a lot of times our testimony, we have to watch what our testimony is. Because if we start telling ourselves, "I'm defeated, I'm beat down," Scripture tells us, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And until we begin to say, "I am more than a conqueror, I'm able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I'm a child of the King, I'm a royal generation, I'm a king and priest unto God," you know, because that's what Scripture says about you. And whether or not you believe it is kind of up to you. If you don't believe it, guess what? I said in Sunday school, if you don't believe it, you won't receive it. If you believe it, you will receive it. Because you are what he says you are, not what your situations and circumstances say you are. But anyway, he says, "He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing on his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan," the Lord rebuke, and the Lord said unto Satan, "The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee, and is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he said, and he spake unto those that stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from before him." And unto him he said, "Behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." And you know, when I read that, I tell you what I get a picture of. I get a picture of Jesus at the Last Supper. It said he laid aside his garments, and he took a towel and wrapped himself in a towel. And the word for towel there is linen. He wrapped himself in a linen garment. And in the Old Testament, when the high priest was going to go in before the Lord into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, when he was going to go in, and he'd take the blood into the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat, he would lay aside his priestly garments, and he would put on linen garments. Linen breeches, linen hat, you know, everything was linen. And the reason that he would put on linen, in the natural, linen is one of the I don't know that people wear it as much as they used to in years past. Linen is one of the most sweat-free garments you can wear when it's hot. It's better than cotton. It's better than cotton. And linen, the reason that the high priest put on linen, because it was the no-sweat garment. Because when you went in before the Lord, you couldn't go in there by your own efforts. You had to go in by the purity of that linen garment, the no-sweat garment. And you know how people will make that statement when things are okay or when they're going to be really easy. What do they say? No sweat. No sweat, buddy. That's no sweat. Well, you know what? In the things concerning you and God, no sweat. No sweat. You can put that linen garment on any time. Any time. And in the Old Testament, it talks about Zadok. As he would go in, and he describes that he put on linen breeches, linen bonnet, and all that before he went in. He was the high priest in the Old Testament, one of the high priests. And it's and here we see where Joshua, and Joshua means God the Savior, or God will save. And Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. And you know, when Jesus, at the Last Supper, when he laid aside his garment and took the linen garments and clothed himself in it, and he took water and he began to wash the feet of the disciples. And, you know, I picture this because I remember my kids, and especially Mark when he was little boys, or worse than girls, they'd be outside playing and they'd get all dirty and stuff, and they'd come into the bathroom and they'd wash their hands, you know, before it was time to eat or something like that. Boys didn't wash their hands. They wet their hands and rubbed the dirt off on the towel. Any mother that has a boy can attest to that. Boys are much dirtier than girls. And, you know, I can just see as Jesus took that water and began to wash their feet. And you have to realize in Jerusalem, when they walked in Jerusalem, they walked through the streets, and the donkeys and everything else went there, and the animals would just defecate on the street and urinate and everything else. And that's why any time that you went into somebody's house, one of the first things they were supposed to do was offer you water to wash your feet, to cleanse the filth off of you. And when Jesus began to, he took them and he says, he began to wash their feet. And he got all the way through all of them and got down to Peter. And I guess Peter was the last one. And Peter looked at him, and Peter knew that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Son of the living God. And he'd even made that statement to Jesus, you know, who do men say that I am? Peter told him, you're the Son of God, you know, and all this. And you know what? I think as Peter looked at him, he looked at all that dirt being taken upon Jesus on them linen garments. And he said, Lord, you'll not wash my feet. In other words, I'm not going to add to the filth that's already on you. I know who you are, is what he was saying in his heart, I believe. And Jesus said to him, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part with me. Think about it, folks. I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care what you do today. He spiritually has washed your feet on Calvary. He spiritually washed you. He took that filth upon himself. He took all of the sins of the world upon himself. And you know what? That's why he could even cry out and say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because, man, it was so burdensome, it was so heavy, all of that dirt upon him. And he took it for the whole sins of the world that were back there before he came, while he was here, and after he came. And buddy, that's a lot of sins. That's a lot of filth. That's a lot of nastiness. He took that upon himself. And then he said to Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part with me. Peter, being the exuberant guy he was, said, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head and everything. You know, now, all of a sudden, Peter was funny. I always get a kick out of him because some of us need to be exuberant. Some of us are over-exuberant at times, and Peter was over-exuberant at times. But he said, Peter, if I wash your feet, that's all you have need of. You don't have need of anything else. And after he had done that, he laid aside those garments and took back his garments. And he said, you don't know what I've done to you. He said, but hereafter you'll know. He said, now you go and do it to these out here. Wash their feet. Now I'm going to tell you, Yoli was talking about restitution. She was talking about reconciliation, basically, is what she was saying when she was up here talking before. Every time that you come into contact with people who you see, even the filth of sin on their lives, the filth of everything imaginable, you have the ability, as being a royal generation, a king and a priest unto God, you have the ability to loose that sin from them. If you'll just pray for them. You don't have to do it out loud. If you do it out loud, that's wonderful, like Lisa did. That's wonderful. But you don't even have to do it out loud. If you just say, oh God, lay not this sin to their charge. Forgive them, Father. And you know what? Whether you know it or not, you just washed a whole bunch of dirt off of them. A whole bunch. And I tell you, you have that ability to do that. You can do that. And you know, I was also thinking about, let's go on down through here, and let's talk about the trees a little bit. It said, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and he spake to those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from. And he said, behold, I have caused that iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mite on his head. And so they set a fair mite on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by, and the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my charge, and if thou shalt judge my house, and shall also keep my courts, I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, Joshua high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. And you know, Scripture says, Jesus told them one time, I'm the vine and you're the what? Your branches. He's going to bring forth his servant. He was the original branch, but now you're the branch. And he said, I'll bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, and upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the engravings thereof, saying, the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. And you know what? He did. On Calvary, he removed the total iniquity of the land. Now, people out there think they're still in sin, but I got news for you. He cleansed them. They just don't know it. And they won't know it until you tell them. They're going to walk in condemnation because the church out there is telling them what bad sinners they are, and that they're going to burn in hell forever, and that they're going to be destroyed, and telling them all those kind of things. You need to start telling them the good news. That's the bad news. That ain't the good news. The good news is that Jesus died for their sins. The good news is that they've been forgiven. The good news is that they can be born again into the kingdom of God. All they have to do is accept it. The good news is that they're kings and priests unto God also. They just don't know it, you know. And it says, the iniquity of the land shall, I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. And in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall you every man call his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Start calling your neighbor under the vine which you are. Start giving him the fig tree. Start giving him of the figs of the fruit of your spirit. The fruit that God's given you. In chapter 4 it says, and the angel talked with me and came again and walked me as a man that waketh out, wake me as a man that waketh out of a sleep. And you know, Jesus keeps saying to us all the time, awake thou that sleepest, and God will give thee light. Awake. And you know what? We got to wake up. Wake up, folks. Realize what God's already done. Realize who and what you are in God. Realize that you are kings and priests unto God. Realize that you have the ability to forgive people's sins because he's already forgiven them. And all you're doing is just telling them about it. You know, He said, whatsoever he told the disciples, he said, whatsoever things you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever things you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Don't bind them. Loose them. Set them free. Let them go. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl on the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon. Seven lamps to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees, one by one side of the bowl, and the other by the left side, the right side of the bowl, and one by the left side of the bowl thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? Don't you know what these are? It already told me, you should know what these are. Don't you know what these are? And he said, no, my Lord. And he answered and spake unto me and said, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, he that bringeth forth, that thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Praise the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. Now, I read you that out of the King James. Now, I'm just going to read that last little bit to you out of the Amplified, because it's beautiful in the Amplified. It tells you what was really going on there. You know, in Revelation, there's two olive trees. And one was on one side of, there was a stream that came out of the throne of God. And there was a tree on one side, and there was a tree on the other side. And that stream that came out was the river of life, the river of the water of life. And those two trees, they said that they bore fruit, 12 manners of fruit. How many months is there? 12. So guess what? They bear fruit all the time. It's constantly bearing fruit, 12 manners of fruit. And what was that fruit given for? The healing of the nations. The healing of the nations. Now, let's go back here and let's look at this and let's find out who those two trees were, okay? Now, in verse, I'm going to go back to verse 2. And this is out of the Amplified Bible. And I love this. And he said unto me, what do you see? And I said, I see, behold, a lampstand of gold with bowls of oil on the top of it, and the seven lamps on it. And there are seven pipes to each of the seven lamps which are upon the top. And there are two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side of it, feeding it continuously with oil. And I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, Lord? And the angel who talked with me answered me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said unto me, this addition of the bowl of the candlesticks causes it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, is the word of the Lord, Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, saying, the Lord of hosts. For who are you, O great mountain of obstacles, before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon, and was taken, undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before him. You shall become a plain, a mere molehill, and he shall bring forth the finishing gable, the stone of the new temple, with loud shouting to the people, crying, grace, grace unto it. And he says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the house, and the hands also shall finish it. When you shall know and recognize and understand that the Lord of hosts has sent me his messenger to you. And I want you to know there was two olive trees. And the two olive trees, one of them was Joshua, and the other one was Zerubbabel. And you know Joshua means God the Savior. And Zerubbabel means one born out of Babylon. That's us, folks. We were born out of confusion. We were born out of a mess. Our lives were a wreck before we found Jesus. We were in absolute confusion. But I'm going to tell you what, the candlestick talks about the church. If you go up in Revelations and you see what it showed, John saw a candlestick and it was the church. It was given unto the seven churches. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus is going to pour into one side of the church, and you, as being Zerubbabel, are going to pour into the other side of the church, and you're going to pour in a ceaseless supply of oil. And when you pour in that ceaseless supply of oil, it's going to be given for the healing of the nations. And I tell you what, the anointing of God is going to begin to increase and increase and increase, because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And I'm going to tell you what, but you have to begin to realize who and what you are, and who and what He did for you. And you know what He did for you? He clothed Himself in that filthy garment that you were wearing. Not only your filthy garment, but mine and everybody else's out there. He clothed Himself in that when He went to Calvary. And I'm going to tell you, what did He say on Calvary? And I said this to you a few weeks ago around Easter. What was one of the main things He said when He was on Calvary? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know what the Father did? He said, okay, son, they're forgiven. They're forgiven. And I'm going to tell you what, they don't know they're forgiven. They don't believe they're forgiven. And a lot of the church people don't think they're forgiven. But I'm going to tell you what, they're forgiven. He did it. He can't do it no more. He can't be crucified again. He only did it one time. And when He did it, he died for all the sins of the whole world. And I'm going to tell you, everybody thinks God hates the world. No, He doesn't. Read in the Gospel of John, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that they might have life and have it more abundantly. When are we going to tell them you got the abundant life? You can have it. It's yours. You can have it. But you know what? As long as we don't think we got it, we can't tell them they got it. We're going to have to start believing we got it. We're going to have to start thanking God that we got it. Oh, man. You say, Oscar, you're talking deep today. No, I'm not. I'm talking very simple. I'm going to tell you what. All of the things of God, everything in this Bible is about you and about Him. It's not about anything else. It's about you and Him and your relationship with Him. And I'm going to tell you, when He talks about these trees and all this stuff, you could look at that and say, oh my God, that's deep. That's strange. No, it's not. It's very simple. What we sing a while ago? Thank God I'm a tree planted by living waters. My leaves shall not wither. My roots go down deep. And all that I do, God said I would prosper. We're trees of the Lord, and we're planted by Him. You're planted right on one side of the church, folks. Pour the oil back in. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for the church out there that they awake up. They'll wake up and quit condemning everybody and heaping condemnation on everybody, and start showing them the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God. That's what this thing's all about. That's what Jesus came to show. He didn't come to show all that other terrible stuff you hear about out there. There's probably more sermons preached on the Great Tribulation than anything else out there. And I'm going to tell you what, they should be preaching about the Great Peace Giver, the Prince of Peace, The one who loves you, the one who forgave you, the one who wants to restore you, bring restoration to the families, bring restoration to the nations. Those leaves were given for the healing of the what? The nations, those two trees. One of them's Jesus, one of them's you, folks. You're the other one. You're standing on the river of life is flowing out of the throne, right in between there. And I'm going to tell you what, in Ezekiel, there was a time when, when Ezekiel, the Lord let him see the temple, and he saw the door of the temple, and he saw water start to trickle out from beneath the door of the temple. You know, is that a temple over there? You know what the scripture says? Know you not that you are the temple of God? Scripture tells you that. Do you know that? You're the temple of God. Is the water trickling out from underneath your door a little bit? The water of the Word of God? It says that eventually it trickled out and it began to be ankle deep. Well, you know, you can walk pretty easy in ankle deep. Then it began to be knee deep. It's a little harder to walk when it gets knee deep. When God starts giving you some of the deeper truths and the deeper Word, it gets a little harder to walk in it. And then it became thigh deep. And when it gets up to your thighs, it gets up to where the source of life in you is. You know, the source of new life. That's where you create new life from. And then it got so deep that guess what? You had to swim in it. And buddy, when it got that deep, then it said everywhere it touched, it brought life. God, get us to the point that we get so deep in this thing that we have to swim in it. And that everywhere your water of your word that comes out of the midst of us, out of that know you not that you're the temple of God, comes out of us, that it brings life. Not condemnation, not death, not accusing, not telling everybody how bad they are. Start telling them how good they are, how good God is, and how much He loves them, and how much He's brought restoration to them. And how much He wants to heal them. And He wants to do all these other things. Because that's what Jesus was all about. He wasn't about heaping condemnation on people. Romans the 8th chapter says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. You know? And we need to walk after the Spirit. Not with a condemning thing, but with a restorative thing. With a healing for the nations. Well, praise God. I didn't plan on preaching you this sermon today, but the Lord sent me in that direction, and that's where we are. And thanks, Brenda, for letting me use your Bible. But if you read that in the Amplified Bible, it tells you that one of the trees was Joshua, and the one on the other side was Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel means one born out of Babylon, and we've all been there. We've all been in that state of confusion. And thank God that we were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And when we were born of that incorruptible seed of the Word of God, each seed after its own kind, you plant a seed of God, and guess what it brings forth? What does that seed have to bring forth? God. It can't bring forth nothing but God. And you know what? That's what we need to start bringing forth when we talk to people. God. We need to start telling them about God. Telling them about His goodness, the goodness of God and the land of the living. Praise God. If you all stand up, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your words, for truly they are spirit and they are life. I ask You, Father, to just cause this word to sink down deep in our hearts. And Father, if there's anyone out there who did not understand what was said today, Your word never, never returns void. And I want to thank You, Lord. I talked to a young lady years ago. And I was telling her some things, and she said, you know, I've sat in church for years and years. How come I never heard that sermon? I preached it at least twice. You know why she never heard it? Because she wasn't in a place to receive it. And if you can't receive it right now, that's okay. Just let it go. And God will bring it back to you when it's time for you to receive it. It's okay. It's okay. There's no condemnation in Christ. But I tell you what, He will definitely bring this word back to you because it's His word. It's not my words. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You for Your words. They truly are spirit and life. Bless Your people. And Father, as they go forth, even as Lisa was saying that she ministered to the person on the bus, Father, just give us all even a more of a boldness. But help us to move only as your Spirit directs us. Because, Father, when we start trying to do something on our own, we make a mess of it. But, Father, when it's by your Spirit, it has power. It has anointing. It has authority. And it has that ceaseless supply of oil. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all.